Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For God's sake.
I swear to God, I will go and punch you! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there is Rex Hupke. And I think I need to stop saying that there is Rex Hupke because we did that when we had a big, big space. And I could point across the room to you. And now I'm inches from you in our podcast closet.
This dreadful person who is too close to me is Rex Hupke.
This individual who probably skipped deodorant today is Rex Hupke. Kidding. Anyway, welcome to another fine edition. I don't think I'm going to have a coughing fit this time.
Really? Oh, okay. We were starting to get used to those. So
I thought, make an appearance.
I thought it was a new part of the show.
But yeah, that's the thing. So how are you? What's happening? How's your Twitter feed?
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. There was actually, maybe a little later in the show, we can talk about this. I was just in a really interesting Twitter thread that I saw about a guy talking to some Trump people and trying to reason with them.
How'd that work out for him?
Yeah, not great, but it is kind of interesting, and it's similar to my own experiences with people that email. Anyway, but we can maybe get into that perhaps a bit later. But, of course, everybody's going on about the recording of Trump and Michael Cohen, which sounded kind of like an outtake from The Godfather.
I know, right?
An outtake from a very bad version of The like a porn version of The Godfather or something.
Please no.
But yeah, so that was, and you know, there was actually a headline in The Guardian saying that, you know, this would have destroyed any other presidency. The fact that it's sort of...
Wait a minute, I spoke too soon.
Ah, there it is.
All right. The coughing fit.
Nice. Our third guest. The fact that, you know, any other presidency would have been just demolished by this.
Oh, we could say that about so many things that have occurred.
Yeah, there's been like five things.
Let's start
this week.
With like the grab them by the pussy comment, I feel like would have destroyed most situations.
Yeah, that would have just nipped it all in the bud, really.
But no, here we are. And that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, did you listen? Have you heard the tape?
I haven't listened to it yet, but okay, I'm very excited that it exists.
Yeah. I mean, it isn't.
It's, you know, not like earth shattering.
I don't know if it's, you know, if it's going to actually cause legal damage necessarily. I think what it more likely is kind of a, you know, another example in a, like a sort of a broader, you know, like a broader conspiracy, really, because they're basically talking about creating a shell company to pay off someone. And, you know, it shows that he was lying about it when he denied it during the campaign, and they're talking about trying to keep stuff quiet until after the campaign, and it's just all really dodgy. And the thing that struck me, honestly, about it was how much it sounds like business as usual with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it
sounds like a mob boss talking to his consigliere, and just like it's something they do on a regular basis. So, and no, you know, nobody. It's not the sort of thing that's going to make any of his ardent supporters give a crap. But
nothing
I do,
is.
Yeah, but I do think, I mean, the most interesting thing about it also, or the other thing about it that I think is really interesting, though, is just that it's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, this was Michael Cohen saying, here, I got a little bit of this. I mean, it's not like, you know, they released the most inflammatory thing they have in their pocket.
It wasn't the P tape.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So there's, you know, I mean, I'm guessing there's tapes with Hannity on it. There's going to be more tapes with Trump on it, and Lord knows what else. So it also could conceivably draw some other people from the Trump organization into the investigation, because they talk about a couple different people in that conversation. So it's a very significant development, I think.
I like how the get me a Coke, please started emerging so quickly. Everyone grabbed onto that one.
Yeah.
Very immediately of Trump being heard in the course of the tape saying, give me a Coke, please.
Yep.
And of course, I trust the internet to make joy from that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's very weird. But I thought
I was so diplomatic. It's quite weird right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Great. Weird.
Yeah,
great.
Weird. That's where I've gotten. Well, the other thing that I think was, I mean, it got a lot of attention. I almost feel like it should get more attention, even, was his comment yesterday to a veterans group where he said, basically, you know, what you're seeing and reading is not what's actually happening. And that had a very, well, it actually echoed George Orwell's 1984. There's a, you know, in that book, they talk about, you know, the government basically denying reality. And so, but, you know, it's just what an amazing thing for a president to say.
Yeah, the exact quote was, and he said this at a speech in Kansas City to the annual convention of the VFW. He said, "Stick with us. Don't believe the crap you see from these people, the fake news." Then said, "What you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening." That's really just kind of a chilling statement. I mean, it's a short, small thing to say, but it's there's a lot with that. And that is super manipulative and super terrifying of a thing to say.
It really is. I mean, and but that's what's happening. You know, I mean, that's, you know, all of these every day they are denying things that are right in front of us.
And so where does that culminate in your mind? Where does that land in 6 months or a year or however long?
I think that
besides journalist jail.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Look, I think he's got a certain percentage of the population brainwashed right now. I really do. I mean, I think that's about where it stands. I don't think it's anywhere near a majority of the population. So I think that that kind of thing continues to embolden the opposition, you know, people that are scared of him and people that don't like this. And you may drag off a few, you know, not entirely brainwashed people along the way, possibly. So, yeah, I mean, I think he is, I mean, when you consider the fact that the midterms are coming up, he's doing everything humanly possible to make sure that the Republicans get clobbered at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know that they will. I mean, you can't bet on anything as far as voting goes. But, you know, this sort of thing is just, people are getting it now. And more than they did. You know, for a while there was the, oh, he'll pivot. For a while there was the, well, you know, he needs to get his legs under him and he'll figure out how to do the job. He's just not a politician and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I don't believe that either of us said anything.
No. We never did, but yeah. A lot of people did. And, sure. I think now we're getting to the point where people are really not only seeing how crazy this is, but becoming increasingly bothered and even maybe offended by how crazy it is.
Maybe.
Maybe not. It's true that it could backfire.
I was in a Lyft recently, and the driver brought all of this up, and it was really fascinating. And it was kind of a longer trip too, so I was like, "Damn it, I'm stuck in this car."
Was it he or she a pro or anti?
He was a big old Trumpo.
Oh.
And yeah, he was like, He said something about my nose ring. That's where it started. He was like, "Why do you have that? Or what is that? Or something? Or is that a clip on? And then why do you have it?" And I was like, "No, it's not a clip on." "Well, then why do you have it?" I was like, "Because it's my fucking face, and I can put a hole in it if I want." And you know, so then he paused for a minute, and I could feel the judgment radiating off of him. He's like, "So let me guess, you loved Obama?" And he went from nose ring to Obama.
Wow,
right? And I was like, "We're going to do this, huh?" And I was like, do you like to talk politics? I didn't even answer him. I said, "You like to talk politics?" And he said, "I do now. I got," says, he didn't say my guy, but like my person, something he identified like being a Trump supporter. And then he just spewed a strange rant of that encompassed some of the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. Lots of "these people" and "they," and I kept saying, "Well, where did you hear that?" Because I was, at this point, I was like, I'm not in danger. I'm just going to let this be a sociological experiment here and just hear what this man has got to say and just listen to him. And not because I want to make peace, but I'm just like, the fuck is driving you to believe this? And it really amounted to, like, he was spouting things off. And one in particular statement, he started talking about about food. He didn't like Scott Pruitt and felt like he was going to screw farmers. And he's like, the new guy at the EPA, he's going to save them. And I was like, do you know that guy's name? He's like, I don't remember, but that guy, I mean, he's good. He's good. He's going to save them. And I'm thinking like, no, that guy's going to fuck farmers even worse than Pruitt. But sure, okay. So he's going on about this and he's like, oh, I know some farmers and they're down. They're cool guys. They work hard. They deserve a break. And he's kind of, and I was like, where are you, you know, what news do you, you know, watch? I know exactly what he's going to say. And he was like, I watch the news. And I was like, right, what, you know, channel? And he's like, well, Fox, everything else is just crap. It's just terrible. It's just the worst. I'm like, okay, well, do you ever, you know, like compare how different outlets have covered a story? And he was like, what do you mean? What outlet of what do you mean? And I was like, well, for example, you go to like Fox News website and then you go to like NPR and look at the same story and see if they've, you know, said different things. And then you can decide for yourself. He's like, I don't need to. I got Fox. They do the work for me and I can just lean on them. I'm like, wow. Good times all around right here. But anyway, he gets on this rant about food and farming and he begins saying that you can trust food. I shit you not. He says, you can trust food from everywhere in the world because they, I'm going to air quote, they have engineered the food now so that we can eat it from anywhere. And that's, in his mind, that's proving American superiority, that we have the ability to bring in food from anywhere. We can eat things year round. I was like, no, I think that's actually murdering us at a cellular level. But sure, go on, please. And then he says, food from everywhere is safe except the Middle East because those, quote, those people shit in their fields. That is what he said. And I was like, interesting. I don't think that's accurate. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's not accurate.
That's a rare conspiracy theory.
That's a really interesting one. Yeah. And he goes, oh, no. I saw it on the news. It is really interesting. Like, we have to really be careful. Like, don't buy tomatoes from Libya. And I was like, I don't think anybody's buying tomatoes from, mine are from Florida.
Their fields in the desert?
Right. Like, I mean, there's not a lot of this is really falling apart here, guy. Like, really, really falling apart quickly. And he just is just ranting and ranting. And I wouldn't say this was like, he wasn't, this was not like a manic rant. This was like a reasonable guy. I just didn't fucking agree with him in, on any level. But he wasn't like, he was not having a mental health episode.
Right.
He was just in a state of passionately disagreeing with me. But it was really fascinating. And I'm not saying this guy represents all of the Trumpos, but I was thinking of our conversation last week because he had pride in his brazenness in a very big way. In his, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, he almost reminded me of, like, you know when someone gets really belligerent on Springer?
Yeah.
Like, it was that. He was proud of how belligerent he could be about this.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like, nope, my guy tells it like it is. He knows what's up. This is what he's fixing America job. And he's just like spouting numbers. Like, the job rate is way up. The economy's way up. I was like, not really.
Yeah, right.
Not actually. Wow. So not in the way that you're saying.
That's
and
wild.
Just spouting and spouting and spouting. And I said, so what do you think about the new Supreme Court nomination? And he didn't understand what I was asking him. Uh-huh. And he's like, get rid of her. Get rid of her. I was like, well, no, the new nominee is male. And he was like, no, she's the old one and they're getting rid of her. I was like, well, she's already, are you talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg? She's already on the Supreme Court. She's not. And it occurred to me, I don't know that he knew what the word nomination meant.
Yeah.
And I just kind of left that be. But this man went on and on and on, like took it issue by issue with unbelievable levels of conspiracy. And I kept saying, well, where'd you read that? Where'd you read, you know, and he's like, oh, you know, Facebook, they got a lot of stuff in there. I'm like, well, but sure, Facebook's not like a news source. He's like, yeah, but, you know, you can't trust it because they're Russians. So you got to make sure you're reading the right stuff. And I'm like, right. So what is the source that you read? He just couldn't. And I felt more of a sense of like, oh my God, we must all do the reporting constantly. No one may let up. I mean, it was really kind of fascinating because it was exactly what like this one conversation, although one conversation can certainly not represent everything. It confirmed so many of the things of just like, what are you talking about, dude? This man claimed he went to India at one point in the 70s and he said, the streets just smell like shit. And I was like, so you have a thing about brown people and poop, don't you?
Yeah, because it seems
like
that way,
right? You keep bringing this up. And he was like, hey, that's what they do. That's what they do. You know, I don't know if you've ever been around them. I was like, well, one of my best friends is a brown person. I can't say she's ever thrown it at me, put it on her food, you know. And I've you know, traveled with her. We've been around each other and know each other very well. I can't say that's not a thing her people do. And right. He's like, well, you don't know. Be careful. Be careful. I was like, I don't think she's out to trick me. Like, and it was this man, no matter what, was not going to trust anybody who was not a white guy. Mm-hmm. And then he told me that, like, one of his nieces married a black man. And he's like, he's pretty good to her, but, you know, we got to keep our eye on him. And I was like, God, this guy is so fucking racist. It is stunning to me. And I said, you know, I don't agree with you, you know, philosophically. Thanks for sharing all this, but I think we have really differing views. And he was like, oh, I don't care. I know I'm aligned with the right. And he began to talk in a way that was like the like super evangelical, it doesn't matter if you disagree with me because you're going to hell and I'm not, kind of that very self-righteous, it was the strangest lift of my life. And then it was like, rate your ride with Fred. I was like, where do I start with this? Yes. There's a character limit and I need there to not be one. So, you know, I was like, well, you know, he got me to my destination on time. However, I feel like he... was a little ranty as a fella. I mean, I didn't explicitly say, shut up, stop talking.
Yeah.
I didn't say, I don't want to talk about this. I did want to hear. That's the problem. Because I think sometimes, like, the writer in us over, I don't want to say Trump's, but, you know, overtakes, right. leads over the interests of, like, the reasonable human being in us.
Right, yeah.
And, like, in my life, I stayed... on a very stupid blind date one time years ago because I just wanted to see how it played out. Because I was like, this guy's an idiot. And I just want to see how this plays out. The writer in me took over I just want to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Person. Somebody else may have not gotten that engaged in a conversation with that guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was a long story to say, like, holy shit, that's happening.
Well, and it's funny because the thing that I mentioned before, the parallel here is almost staggering. Let me just read some of this. This is from a guy named Tom Nichols. Who is a professor at the Naval War College. He's a conservative. He's like a never Trump guy though. Mm-hmm. I'm not vouching for Tom. I don't know a lot about Tom Nichols. I know of him, well, whatever. Anyway, but this is interesting regardless. So I'll kind of paraphrase some of this. It's a little bit of a long thread. His Twitter is at Radio Free Tom. If you want to look at it yourself, but, he says he was part of a panel at Harvard talking about the Helsinki summit, and afterward, two middle-aged women had some questions.
It's not so much a question as a comment.
Right. Oh, so during the talk, I had said that Helsinki was not going to move the needle on Trump's base support, not least because the Trump base is willfully ignorant and refuses to hear anything they don't like about the summit or about Russia at all. After the talk, these two people wanted a debate. Did you say I'm willfully evil? One asked me. I said, no, I said you're willfully ignorant. Much spluttering. Both did the standard Trump thing, talking at me in a fusillade of words, punctuated with questions that they would not let me answer. Mm-hmm. This is a compulsion with Trumpers. They must constantly explain to you why they had to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
There was the standard litany of phantom Trump successes, including, really, that Trump is, quote, taking jobs away from foreigners and making them give them back to Americans. When I brought up foreign workers at Mar-a-Lago, they agreed. Bad. But Trump? Good. Finally, I said, look, what you believe to be true is false. The things you think are facts are not facts. We can't go further here. That elicited lots of fast talking about why false things were true and why Trump is generally awesome. Finally, one of them said, you should respect my view and not call me ignorant. That's not reasonable. I said, you are not a reasonable person, and this is not really a discussion where I can respect your view. You think Trump is doing great. I think he's a disaster. To which she said, and I quote, well, he's not as bad as Obamanation. I said, Obamanation? She said, that's what he was, an abomination. This was the person who had just implored me to be respectful and reasonable. I rolled my eyes and she left. The other person was nicer and said I was the only never-Trumper she'd met who she thought was funny and engaging. But I finally said, these things you think are happening just aren't happening. She said out of nowhere, well, I supported Obama, but I couldn't vote for Hillary. And I said, that's irrelevant to what's happening now, isn't it? Then she launched into Hillary crimes litany. And I said again, but that's not relevant now, blah, blah, blah. My point, these two people will never, ever change their minds. They are not accessible to reason. They demand agreement and respect even when they don't give it and are themselves unreasonable. This is the cohort that neither the GOP post-Trump nor Dems will ever reach. They were flummoxed when I said, I don't respect that view. your facts are not accurate. They were used to people deferring to them in a more polite way, I guess. Still, it was a reminder that facts and reason are useless. I'm pretty hard to talk over, and these people were like being caught between two North Korean televisions. What they wanted, like most Trumpers, was to explain to you at length why Obama and Clinton are evil. I think it solidified for me that these types of Trumpers are just lost. They're not going to climb down, change their minds, listen to new information. Trump really could shoot them on Fifth Avenue. There's no point in discussion because they don't discuss, they preach. No rational or fact-based politics will reach these folks. I hate to say that because I believe in the power of reason and facts, but they're gone. Some of them are nice people, but dumb. Some of them are just bad people, but rationality isn't going to change much here. And I think that's a really, I mean, I think that when he said they're lost, mm-hmm. I thought that was a really, really mm-hmm. great way of describing this because, and I retweeted and said, you know, my own experiences with a lot of readers who are pro-Trump is exactly the same way to the point where I no longer can respond to.
There's nothing to respond
yeah,
to.
Yeah, it's just, it's pointless. It's an effort and futility.
And it's almost, I have said to somebody in that mode who approached me after a panel I was on, not even talking about politics. I wasn't even talking about politics. They had just like through the course of sitting there, looked at my Twitter feed and like seven tweets ago, I had tweeted something about Scott Pruitt and therefore they decided I needed to be preached at. And anyway, I got approached and this happened. And I finally just like, what is your ideal outcome right now? Because I was really tired and I just didn't want to stand there and deal with their shit. And I was like, what do you want to happen? What is your ideal outcome? And I don't think that had ever occurred to them.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, well, I need you to listen. I'm like, well, you've repeated yourself quite a bit. I heard what you said. Do you need to convert me? Do you need me to go like, I too will respect a leader? And like my eyes turned to little pinwheels and like, what do you need to happen to make you believe this has been a satisfying interaction? I don't think there is one. I don't think there's a thing.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think you're right. That's a really good point too. I think that, and there will, I'm sure, be endless psychological studies done in the wake of this little era of ours here. But I think that need to be heard is tied up in feelings of obsolescence and feelings of failure that manifest themselves in a lot of people who support him. And that's why I think you get these kind of things like you're describing, the kind of things that Tom Nichols fellow was describing, where it really is, and yeah, I think you're spot on. There isn't an end point to it. It's I want to be heard and heard and heard.
And heard and heard.
And heard. Because it's like the, what is that, Dr. Seuss? Horton Hears a Who. I don't know if you're familiar with that, where the little tiny who's on a speck of dust.
Sure.
They all live on a speck of dust. And
sure.
They all.
Say more. I don't really know.
I was just going to say, right, you don't.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's a great. Children.
I'm familiar with the work, but yeah. I've not personally viewed it.
Tiny speck of dust.
Mm-hmm.
A giant elephant finds this little speck of dust, and he hears something coming from it. It's a little tiny voice, but nobody else can hear it. And so in order to get everyone to hear it, all of these little who's, who are these little tiny people that live on this speck of dust in this whole like crazy Dr. Seuss city on a speck of dust, have to shout out all in unison in order to, you know, they have to be heard in order for anybody to believe that they exist. So it's kind of the way I feel, except in Dr. Seuss, they're sort of the protagonists.
Sure.
Whereas here, they're kind of the antagonists. But
yeah.
But still, it's the same thing. I mean, I feel like these people, they are, and it doesn't justify crap. I mean, this is completely their fault as far as I'm concerned, but they feel, for whatever reason, marginalized, put upon, obsolete, they're losing their power, they're losing control, whatever. And yeah, I think that's it. And that's why I think, you know, Twitter, Facebook have gotten so loud and horrible. And just because you have these people that all they do is scream and all they do is cry out and demand that they be right. And anything that stands in the way of that is fake news or is a lie or is liberal,
yeah.
Blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think we figured the whole damn thing out. End of podcast.
And then it came to a very abrupt end suddenly with a speck of dust and an elephant and hearing a who. Switching topics a bit.
Sure, yeah.
the Goldwater Rule, which is a it's the informal name of a section in the American Psychiatric Association's like ethics principle guiding document, right? Saying it's really dealing with like having a professional opinion about public figures.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so it's been a big deal in the Trump era because so many people are kind of hypothesizing about his health, his brain health, his psychological health, his neurological health, and there's an ethical consideration attached to that. But suddenly, as of recently, some psychiatrists are kind of like pushing back and saying, well, I think we have a moral duty to break the Goldwater Rule. And in fact, maybe we can't clinically diagnose without having him as a patient. But what we do know, there are standard behaviors and we can point to them. So this, I think this really entered, one time anyway, that it really entered like the pop culture conversation was when Dr. Drew had that show early on when he was kind of first famous with Adam Carolla and whoever. There was someone else. They had that call-in sex show, which was really fascinating because like just when you think you're a freak, you see that show and you're like, man, I'm really kind of a prude. Who knew? You put your what where? Oh, weird. I remember one of the first episodes I ever watched, a guy was talking about he could only get off if he jerked it with sandpaper. And I was like, how did you figure out that was your thing? At what point were you like, I know what would be awesome. You're like, right. So that's that guy's thing. Dang. Anyway.
He's going to be cringing the rest of the show here.
Right. So apparently during that time, Dr. Drew made a comment like very casually. I don't remember if it was on that show, if it was like on one of the late night talk shows. But he said something like, that's kind of something along the lines of like, she's crazy or she's, you know, clearly a little bit of OCD there, something like that. And that's kind of when I think a lot of people first really heard about the Goldwater Rule, because it was some people called on him like, hey, that's not cool. You cannot. And then he, after that, became a little more careful. If a celebrity came up in conversation, he would say, you know what, that person's not my patient. I can't really say it would be irresponsible for me to try to diagnose them. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, this behavior can be indicative of this. He would kind of say it that way. And so that's come up in such a big way because I think most of us can look at Trump and listen to him and say, there's something the matter with this man. Ooh, he's not normal. I feel like if we had a bingo card that said, I'm not a doctor, but for this show, I mean, you can cross that one off. I feel like we've said that one. We say that one all the time.
Sure.
So we also say, I'm not a legal scholar. However,
right, there are a lot of things we are not.
We are not. Right. For a while, we were just saying, we're not right about anything. Yeah, right. So there's that.
I'm not a smart person.
We're just here talking in a closet at this point. But I think that would be interesting if that gains traction of kind of, it's not a matter of like repealing it like legally, but the idea of striking it from this, you know, document of this code of ethics for the Psychological Association, that would be interesting. Or if just even there's a groundswell of mental health professionals, it's like, hey, I think we're living more public lives now. I think that we can do this. I think we can. I think what it comes down to, maybe, because I'm not a mental health professional, but is what would be the purpose of doing that?
Well, that did happen at one point a while ago.
I think
ago.
It did.
Yeah, yeah, but that was not a groundswell. It was
no.
It was just a group of, I don't remember how many, mental health, I don't remember.
And it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Psychiatrists, right, but it didn't go anywhere. Right. You're exactly right. But, you know, yeah, I mean, it does seem irresponsible to me at this point.
To diagnose or to not diagnose?
To not diagnose. For people.
Well, here's the thing, though. I would love for it to, because I think that would be fascinating. Like, for nothing else, like, just what do you think? I would love to just know what mental health professionals think. Yeah, that would just be personally interesting. But also, I guess I'm a little stuck on what would be the purpose of that. Because then, and what would be the downside of that? Like, would it then open up the possibility of, you know, could it wouldn't be unreasonable then for like a mental health professional to just tweet at one of us and say, you clearly are, like, you know, mm-hmm. make up some kind of crazy diagnosis of whatever, you know, that was totally baseless and ridiculous because of one tweet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it might come with it, would what might come with it might be a little bit of a culture shift that would could be a little unwieldy and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and especially in a moment in which I think a lot of us are prone to self-diagnosing stuff, which I don't blame anybody for doing because it's a lot of psychological trauma sometimes to navigate the medical system mm-hmm. for even a very basic bit of care. And most of us, especially women, are treated like absolute shit and have no respect from our medical providers. So I don't blame anybody for self-diagnosing and just saying, okay, this is what this is and this is no big deal. But I think in a time when, you know, there's so much access to information, sometimes we may not get the care that we need, and sometimes we may not have access to the care we need, even if we're not self-diagnosing. So I worry about what that would do. Yet personally, I'm quite interested in like what that would look like against Trump.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. As far as the impact, I mean, I almost feel like the only thing that could possibly move the needle and do any good in terms of getting him shut down is if...
Please hold. My phone's ringing. It's the taxi thing
song. I was just going to say.
That was such a good show.
That's a nice break. Yeah.
It's from Indianola, Illinois.
The call is?
Yeah.
Oh.
I have no idea where that is.
I don't think that's even a place. I get so many just rando calls now from like bizarre... And there's a 312, a Chicago area code. I keep getting all these different numbers and they leave a message. It's some kind of like... I don't know if it's Asian, it's Chinese or Japanese, I'm not, but somebody's speaking an Asian language.
Okay.
And leaving a message. And it's obviously some kind of weird spam sort of thing, but it's happening a lot. It's really frustrating. And yeah, I get stuff from like I got a call from Utah earlier today.
Yeah.
I get these just random phishing calls.
I know. And, all the time. Nuts. And they're super irritating.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
And the most irritating one is that I get a call. There are three numbers that call me sometimes that are just a few digits off of my phone number. And I was like, I'm not like, here's the thing. If I don't know who it is, I'm really not picking up the phone.
Oh, yeah. I never answer my phone.
I am not answering my phone.
Unless it's like, you know, a family member, basically. And even then.
Even then, I'll usually text someone back and be like, what do you need?
Yeah.
Because I'm doing
up?
Things. What's up? Yeah. Anyway, we were ranting before that.
Yeah, that was a nice
taxi jam came
nice
through.
Taxi jam. I enjoyed that. No, but the... So as far as what's going to actually...
Like, what would come out of it to
I don't,
do so?
Just that, I don't think anything.
Yeah.
I think... But I think that, you know... And you would like to think we're nearing a point where this is necessary, but perhaps if there was sort of a collective thing where you have... mental health bipartisan group of high-level mental health people.
Saying, we do not believe this man is fit for this role.
Right. You have a massive array of former and possibly current lawmakers, perhaps a few ex-presidents mixed in or separately. And you have, you know, just a groundswell of people rising up and just saying, this is no longer tenable. Like this, our country is in jeopardy because of this, you know, past military personnel and that sort of thing.
But that's been happening.
It's happened in protests
and there's been this. And like,
yeah, I still don't know if it would do anything.
I still stand by what I said last week that like all this bullshit is falling apart and it's super crazy. That's fine. I'm just going to focus my time on like, is my neighborhood okay mm-hmm. right now?
Like, yeah,
that's one thing I can do.
Yeah.
I cannot do anything about whether or not Trump is in the White House.
Yeah. And I do think to some degree, I think you just have to kind of let it unfold. I mean, remember, every minute of every day, the Mueller investigation is moving forward. You know, there's an emoluments lawsuit against Trump that a judge just today said can move forward, mm-hmm. which was kind of a big surprise, actually, because that's never happened with a president in terms of, you know, acts of self-enrichment. I mean, there are myriad things going on that could bring him down or at least derail him. And also, look, over the past couple of weeks, you have seen a lot more, by comparison, a lot more Republicans standing up to him, especially over the tariffs and his suggestion, the administration yesterday floating this idea of giving $12 billion to farmers to make up for the damage being done by the stupid tariffs. And that that's like from a conservative, that's like, you know, oh my God, you can't do that. Like that, you know, they're going to have to take a stand on that. And so, you know, I mean, things are, he's such a damaged, complicated person with such a long and just ugly background that it was kind of inevitable that things would come, you know, to light now.
Sure.
And they are starting to. And I think when you, in the grand scheme, it feels like he's been president for 20 years at this point.
It really does, yeah.
But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this has not been that long. Right. And this guy's already, but you know, in a lot of, the stuff with Michael Cohen is really bad. I mean, this is bad as the Mueller investigation could be for him. I think the Cohen stuff is quite likely even worse. Yeah.
I'm fascinated by his constant use of the word weak.
Trump's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Constant use of that word. Everything. I'm like, I mean, it reminds me of like those, you know, that really kind of like toxic masculinity, especially in like the fatherhood role of like, I think in particular of like a little boy I saw one time. I mean, I've seen and heard this happen many times, but one in particular sticks out in which like a boy was crying and a dad kind of gave him the like, man up, don't be a girl, stop fucking crying kind of little. He was like a little boy that just needed a hug, you know, and he needed comfort and care and security. And his dad was turned him into an asshole in the span of like four comments.
Right, yeah.
And I think about that kind of, you know, just toxic grossness that must be. I mean, I have no doubt. And again, not a mental health professional. But I have no doubt that Trump's father was a piece of shit.
That's pretty well documented.
Like, not a loving dad. Like, he was a piece of shit on paper. But, like, I'm sure he said, you know, awful things about, like, being weak and being, you know, about masculinity and what masculinity is and isn't. And it's about strength and power and not weakness, and weak is feminine. And just the way he uses that word, weak, it just has, I don't know, like, not to be super woo-woo, but, like, every time he says that word, you can just feel it hang in the air the way he says it. That there, it's so, that word is so loaded for him.
Yeah.
That, like, there's a tweet he sent earlier. And this is from 8 hours ago. Every time I see a weak politician asking to stop trade talks or the use of tariffs to counter unfair tariffs, I wonder, what can they be thinking? Are we just going to continue and let our farmers and country get ripped off? Lost $817 billion on trade last year. No weakness! Exclamation point.
Yeah, it's crazy. And honestly, the thing about his various mental health issues is they're so transparent. I mean, you know, there is without question a link between his obsession with what you're talking about, with weakness, toughness, all that sort of stuff, and his father. I mean, there's absolutely no question in my mind about about that. Like I said, this all just strikes me as like, you know, psychology 101 practically with a lot of his behaviors.
I also liked this tweet. I'm very concerned that Russia will be fighting very hard to have an impact on the upcoming election. Based on the fact that no president has been tougher on Russia than me, they will be pushing very hard for the Democrats. They definitely don't want Trump.
Yeah, come on. I mean, that is beyond gaslighting. Like that, and that ties in with his, you know, what you see and read is not what's happening. I mean, it is
bonkers.
Absolutely
bonkers. Cuckoo bananas. Yeah. Bonkers. I mean, that's beyond gaslighting. That's like... If you introduced yourself and I was like, you're not Rick Sepke. No, you're not. 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 No, 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 times infinity plus one. It's that kind of crazy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, at this point, just kind of.
I mean, by virtue of the fact that this tweet that saying our capital C country is doing all caps great, best financial numbers on the all on capital P planet, great to have all caps USA, all caps winning, all caps again. And 20,000 people have retweeted that, mostly to make fun of him.
Yeah.
But 95,000 people have hit like on that tweet. That's a problem.
It's a huge problem. I mean,
at the very least,
insane. Even
if you agree with the damn thing, don't hit like on a tweet with shitty fucking punctuation and usage. Don't do that.
Nah, that's all part of the, you know, rebellious nature of it, I think.
That's,
you know,
right. He just says it like it is. Get out of here with that. Yeah. Every time, like, there are plenty of tweets that I see that I want to share, but I'm like, that's, no, you can't spell. I'm not going to, first of all, if it's a typo, I don't want to embarrass you and retweet it. Uh-huh. Not you, you. You right. don't have typos because you, you know.
I do every once in a while.
Once in a while. Why? I keep turning off my phone and it keeps beeping.
I had to distract
Look,
the show.
It's off. Yeah. See? It's because I'm looking at Trump's tweet. Something's happening to my phone.
It's the Russians.
That's right. I mean, it's just like these are just such garbage. Garbage. Countries that have treated us unfairly on trade for years are all coming to Washington to negotiate. This should have taken place many years ago, but as the saying goes, better late than never.
And just, it's all made up, too.
It's like, all nobody, made
like,
up.
None of this is true. There's nobody could, like, it's just absolutely, it's absolutely ridiculous, the whole damn thing. It's quite striking. Oh, if you want to pivot to a happier story.
Please.
How about Ivanka Trump having to shut her business down?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk all about that,
that
shit.
That was delightful.
Yeah. Let me just say, roll sorry to hear that, Ivanka. We saw that coming because, you know, stores were going, yeah, I'm going to pass on this bullshit that you have. First of all, I think we devoted at least 20 minutes to making fun of how crappy the shit was when she launched that lingerie line.
Because
it was like a sailor suit.
Right.
Bra.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the dumbest shit I've ever seen. It was not practical underwear, not sexy time, wear it for 10 minutes underwear. It was just like clearly a very specific fetish role play.
Yeah. Lingerie. Rich douchebag cosplay or something.
Let's
like
play that.
That
Hamptons game.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Let's pretend that we're on the yacht and do that thing. Oh, my God. I can't even imagine what is like douchey, wealthy, capitalist role play involve other than like, let's pretend we're on a different yacht.
Yes.
And I'll wear a sailor suit.
Let's pretend we can hear the screams of immigrants in the background.
Oh, my God. Right? I mean, I like, what is that even? What is sexy times in the Hamptons? I don't know, but.
It's disturbing.
Yeah, good times.
But yeah, that is. I just want to know how she feels about this, like, because she'll never admit anything, of course, but, you know, is she mad at daddy for screwing up her brand, or is she like all in on the politics now and that's the new scam or what? But I just find the whole thing to be
I would be very pissed at my father, but I don't think she you know, I don't think her motivation is a sense of self and, you know, making creative work. I think that her motivation is probably power and money. So yeah. Then I'm guessing that it's fine because I've moved on to this other power money thing. I'm guessing. Market Watch has a story in which, let me just share the headline with you. And it is Ivanka Trump's clothing likely to be, quote, given away or sold at fire sale prices after the brand shutters. So that sailor bra is now like 25 cents.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's there's brilliant. And the art.
I hope they ship it to like an African country and they reject it.
Sorry.
No thanks.
Nah, don't want it. No thanks. Some experts say the merchandise could be given away, while others say fans will hang on to the items until they gain value.
Mm. Yeah, right. It'd be kind of like a collector's swastika or something like
right.
that.
Right. And the art attached to the story is a Getty image that and it's like a picture of shoeboxes that have huge like clearance stickers
that's
on them.
Fantastic.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, I want to go somewhere where they carry that and take pictures of the, 93% off signs and stuff.
So they interviewed a management consulting firm, and their founder said that the items will have a different future from ordinary celebrity brands, given her, you know, political stuff going on. Remnant product is usually given away or sold at fire sale prices, he said, but this will be an exception. He thinks that the merchandise will sell for several times the current price, whether or not people like the clothes or the Trumps. I do not believe you.
I don't buy that for a second. No, I think that's nonsense.
No. Like, not to keep going back to underwear, but I was shopping for underwear in the last couple of months and picked up a pair. I was like, these seem like reasonable pairs of underwear right here. And I think the tag was, anyway, in my shopping experience, I was like, I'm holding an Ivanka Trump item. And I was like, no way.
Yeah.
I would not want that on my lady parts or rear end.
Right.
The more distance between my bathing suit area and anything Trump, the better.
The better, right?
The better is how I feel about that. I think even if she had, trying to think of the most boring thing, like, that wouldn't be no big deal. Like, even if she sold, like, toilet paper or trash bags. I still don't want that shit in my house. No, I don't want that.
Mm-mm.
So I hope it. I hope it is. I hope like Nordstrom Rack won't even take it. I hope that like. What's that show? What is that Tuesday morning? That's like and like Ross Dress for Less or not Ross? TJ Maxx.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
All those guys, right? That like will get batches of clothing that have been discontinued, right? I hope they don't. I don't even want to see any of her trash. It's like
just, just throw it into.
That's not a Maxinista move, right there.
Yeah,
at the TJ Maxx.
Now you're talking. Yeah, throw it into the into a dumpster and light it on fire.
That'd be fine. I mean, I hate to say like burning clothes because, well, if it was like practical clothing, like you know. Pants and shirts and socks, I would say, like, give it to a shelter where people need clothing.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's like stiletto heels and goofy tank tops and
odd,
dumb crap.
Weird plaid things and stuff like that. Where you
it really all centers around role-playing, I'm sure.
What about you? I just, you know, I, and zero. I mean, it's, I feel, part of me feels bad for taking delight in that, but... The rest of me is like, you know what? You have what's coming to you. Oh, did you see the other thing about about Trump getting enraged on Air Force One because Melania was watching CNN?
Yeah.
Which also, I mean, I laugh at that, but it was also really scary.
Yeah.
Because it was a real, like, he apparently legitimately got, I mean, the New York Times had emails relating to this becoming an issue and that, you know, he mandated everything has to be on Fox News, including like a TiVo setup that they bring to their separate hotel rooms when they're traveling.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, it's real controlling. Like, it's real scary.
I mean, okay, but let us back up to the thing you said a minute ago and then come back to this because it's all connected. And that is, like, I do not, at a time in my life, I really felt like anything that approached grave dancing and delighting in someone's downfall was a very shitty thing to do. Mm. I really don't feel that.
Change of heart on that.
I've really changed my mind on that because, I mean, I wouldn't spend a lot of energy on it, but it would sure be, you know, gratifying, I think, to like watch someone who's done so much terrible shit to it would be hard not to delight a little bit in seeing that guy ruined.
Yeah, because this
his
is
whole identity is ego and money and power.
You know, a big difference between like, you know, there's this celebrity who I think is kind of a dick, and then something horrible happens, and you're like, yay. I mean, that's maybe kind of not cool, but this is someone who is causing massive harm.
Yeah,
and someone who has degraded our society in ways that are going to take years and years and years to even begin to fix. And she's doing it too. I mean, she's absolutely complicit in this and she's taking advantage of every damn thing and she's profited off this. And so, yeah, I agree with you because I do like the sort of my, you know, moral center does not generally approve of, you know, being like, yay, bad thing happened to someone who I don't like.
Right,
but this is a someone, this is a, I mean, and we haven't had this before. I mean, we have not had a truly fundamentally bad person in these kinds of roles in the past. We've had people who we've had strong
disagreements. We've had some, like, elitist assholes.
Right.
But not quite this extent.
Or even, you know, like, I mean, you can say what you want about Bush and war and torture. And, I mean, there was a lot of bad stuff there. I'm not saying, you know, Cheney, okay, maybe we get into the, sort of the evil area there. But this is, like, on a whole different level. And this is, you know, dangerous. And this is impacting people. And this has led to, you know, children being separated from their, I mean, just horrible stuff.
And I would say there's a difference between, you know, like, if something, you know, like an actual tragedy befell somebody.
Right.
You know, and they were injured or killed or something like that. Like, that's different
I agree. Like, losing your business.
Your piece of crap business that was just kind of a vanity project
Totally.
Fell apart. Yeah. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
So sorry that you have a few million dollars less per year now.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think there's a big difference there. But like in Trump's case, I mean, I would love to see that guy totally humiliated.
Oh, yeah. Like,
no money, no power, ego crushed.
Naked in the public square kind of
maybe
thing.
Not naked, because that's one man I do not want to see naked at all, ever.
Yeah.
Back to previous comment. Not at all. I just, I'm not going to lie and say it wouldn't be a little bit satisfying to see that, like, he, you know, had to figure it out. Like, maybe he had to, like, go get a job and be a fucking normal person and worry about shit.
Well, and I think that there is, and there's, I'm sure this is another psychological area that a expert could get into. But I think that we have people who oppose him and people who have been deeply bothered by everything that's been happening since he got elected and even before. Something almost needs to happen because we're out of balance right now. You know, like right now it feels like bad is winning. It feels like people who do the wrong things are winning. Things feel completely out of whack. And I think that's what's causing so much stress and anger and upset from people who don't like this administration and don't like him or his family. And you know, things need to be recentered. And the only thing that's going to really do that is if he kind of gets his just desserts in terms of the law and in terms of, you know, proving all of these things, or at least a lot of these things that we believe about him that are wrong and crooked.
So remind me later, I'm going to tweet out a piece that's probably about a year and a half old now. It was written by a professor at Loyola, Melissa Bradshaw, and her expertise is around kind of the diva archetype narrative. And she wrote an interesting piece about, you know, to go along with everything in everyone's mind, in a sense, Hillary had to not win. Even by sort of supporters, she kind of need, like, people need their, particularly women, there's a psychological kind of, in because we know the archetype, because we need the story played through, there's almost a need to see her crash. The reason why we couldn't get enough of, like, Whitney's downfall and when Anna Nicole Smith died, like, that was 24 hours a day for 4 days on CNN, like, things like that. Like, we almost need these women to, like, rise up and be bigger than life and then crash and burn, right? Mm-hmm. So her argument in that piece was, like, of course Hillary was not going to win. She needed, like, this loop had to be closed. I think that same narrative is very much like, we like to watch powerful douchebags fail.
Sure.
You know, that extends, it's in a different setting. It's for different reasons for powerful dipshit men. But I think there's something that is almost psychologically irresistible about seeing someone you're not rooting for in a lot of, like, we love to see people with a lot of power and money that seem untouchable. We love to see them fall down. Mm-hmm. I think we do. And I think that's, even when we say, no, I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody, I think there's a little part of us that's like, it's the same reason why, like, if a friend or coworker or someone in your social group, like, is a dick to you and then something happens to them, you're like, karma's a bitch. Like, I don't walk around saying karma because I don't really believe in karma. But nonetheless, people say things like that.
Sure.
It's exactly that. It's like, you have wronged me. And I think the bigger we perceive the scale of being wronged, when it extends beyond just me and more like this collective, you're wronging so many damn people right now. There's almost like, yeah. There's a need, like, you want the payoff of seeing shit fall apart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it screws up. Look, we can't function as a society if bad people are rewarded and good people get stomped down. I mean, it just like, that's just not, that leads to chaos. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, we're kind of defined by our ability to, of rewarding good behavior and punishing bad behavior. So I think on a fundamental level, that is part of the reason that things are feeling so amiss right now.
Okay, again, I'll tweet this out, but the story was published by Ms. Magazine. Again, the writer was Melissa Bradshaw, and the headline on it is, "We Don't Need Another Diva," and it's from February 6, 2017. Mm. So read that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Put that in your RSS feeder and read it.
Cool.
Word. Maybe I will. All right. Well, we got a little philosophical today.
We did. This was very deep.
Well, we're not high. Even though we did talk about a speck of dust and hearing it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
might as well. I bet it'd be really interesting to get kind of stoned with Dr. Seuss.
Probably.
Back in the day.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I reckon. Yeah.
I wouldn't know because drugs are bad. Okay.
Yes. We don't do those.
Anyway. So we're going to go. Be cool. Try not to... start a tariff war or anything.
Yeah, right. Just don't let yourself get recorded by your scummy lawyer.
Try not to do that. anyway, we'll see you next time on Guth and Hupke on Politics.